Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. Toward the end of his life, Samuel wanted to make sure that the Israelites knew that he had never taken a bribe. While King Saul transitioned from a humble farmer to that of a warring monarch, with a small army that he used to build up his reputation. He led Israel in a disastrous battle against the Philistines, and Jesus gave the fledgling king a chance to redeem himself. But driven by fear and unbelief, Saul rebelled and missed the mark. King Saul recognized that David was his replacement, and he became obsessed with murdering the ruddy-haired shepherd boy. He failed to recognize that the situation simply got worse each time he tried to fix the problem through his own inept and blundering efforts. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be talking today about the demise of King Saul. And it's a story that really should impact your life and my life. If you look on the outline, I want to read here about Saul's free will. The last image had a virtual time run, which goes back a week, showed Samuel, King Saul and the Israelites at Gilgal. The God had realized that Lucifer would introduce dirty politics, tribal rivalry, and change Saul into a power-hungry man who would jealously not hesitate to murder those he felt was a threat to his position. As a result, they examined the Hebrew population and found a young teenager named David that could replace Saul if he walked away from the Lord. Saul had a free will, and the God would continue the virtual time run to find out how Saul would act in the future. To those of you that watched the music before we do here, we have praise and worship for about half an hour before we start here. There is a young man that plays the organ, and his name is Jason. And Jason reminds me to a degree about Saul, and I want to use him as a starter point for this message that we will go to as far as the Holy Spirit will let me go on this. Now, Jason was with us in his ministry for about 5 years, and you can see him every Sunday morning playing the organ. And it's a Hammond organ. He was extremely talented. He could read music. He could hear a song and just pick it up like this. He played the organ. He played a piano. I think he played something. He played a guitar too. He played a number of different instruments. He was a very gifted musician. But he had been raised in a church with false doctrine. And so when Jason came to us, he had problems, and we simply said, we're going to take it through deliverance. And matter of fact, it was so bad, his home situation was so bad, that he lived here at the production center for more than 2 years. And he didn't have any transportation, so we loaned him one of our cars and to give him transportation to and from his work. Now, Jason was fighting homosexuality. And his mother was a dominant person. His dad was what I called a milquetoast. Mom was running the household. And so I don't know what happened in the home, but homosexuality is a spirit. It's a spirit of the Antichrist. It's a very powerful demon, the class of demons. So we took Jason through. He renounced it, and we thought it was going fine. And then, just like King Saul here, he simply decided that he was going to rebel. And he started rebellion on a church. This goes back to about 2013-14. Pastor Charles Terrell was leading the music at that time. He was a great music leader. And you can see in the band, that's what you're seeing every Sunday morning. But so Jason and some other people decided that they wanted to bring in other music, different music. And so it ended up with a church split, and we lost the building. We had to retreat where we are now. And that was Jason left the ministry and disappeared. So I found out the other day from one of his friends that he had here in the ministry that he now had become a full-fledged homosexual. He simply moved in with somebody else, no pretension, and he simply gave in and became a full-fledged homosexual. Now, the church where he's at, was at, teaches us that there's no hell, and there's no punishment after you're dead. He also made a statement to this friend that I don't believe in deliverances, I don't believe in demons, and he got a reprobate mind. And my prediction is, unless God miraculously pulled him out, he won't live to see his 40th birthday. So how can this happen? Well, we have King Saul. He was anointed by Samuel. He got the gift of prophecy. He got wisdom. And we have two men here, one that is alive today that we had in church. We have King Saul. 3,000 years ago, and they started well and ended up very bad. I want to take you right now to 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to talk here about Samuel. And Samuel now had seen the writing on the wall, and I want to read here from 1 Samuel 12:1. And Samuel said to all Israel, "Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and I made a king over you. And now behold, the king walks before you. I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you. I walk before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord, and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken, whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I restore it to you." And it said, the people said, "You have not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither have you taken aught of any man's hand." Samuel was not shy in reminding the people about their great wickedness in demanding a king and called upon the Lord to display supernatural power. In verse number 13 in the same chapter, we read this, "Now therefore, behold the king, whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And behold, the Lord has set the king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king that reigns over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers." God simply used Samuel here to warn the people. In verse number 19, in the same chapter here, we read this. "And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for your servant unto the Lord, your God, that we die not. For we have added unto us all our sins as evil to ask of a king. And Samson said to the people, fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. In verse number 23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. But if you shall still do wickedness, you shall be consumed, both you and your king. The sad thing is that not only are we fighting our sinful nature, there are evil spirits, there are fallen angels, we got Lucifer, and these evil spirits will continually try to convince us to sin, to rebel. The next point I have here on the outline is walking in his own strength. When Saul was crowned king by Samuel, he was a simple and humble man who worked on a family farm. He was married, had children, he lived under poor conditions. His family was one of the least in the kingdom in the tribe of Benjamin. God gave Saul a great victory in his first battle with the Ammonites. 2 years later, he was transitioned from a simple farmer to a warring king who had amassed a small standing army of 3,000 men. He had given his son Jonathan 1,000 men, but he kept 2,000 in his personal command. This message here is not to completely go through the life of King Saul, but to bring out some points that we need to take heed of. So in 1 Samuel 13, 3 through 9, we had a battle with the Philistines, and God gave King Saul a great, great victory. And this is what I have seen. I've been walking with the Lord since 1965. I was out in the tulips prior to that. But this is what I have seen. Most people do not have staying power. Very few people have the staying power. You get excited. You want to do something. And 6 months later, I contact you, and you says, oh, well, I'm not doing that anymore. Why not? Oh, I found this over here, I found that over there, and so on. Most people are like butterflies. They fly here, they fly there, they fly a little bit all over the place, and they never accomplish anything. Good starts, but no finish. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, I want to go to verse number 10. So, 13, and we'll go to verse number 10 here. King Saul had been told, go and wait until I, Samuel, could show up. And Saul said, fine. Philistines all around, scrambling, screaming. People are telling Saul, do you see the enemy? Do you see the enemy? Do you see the enemy? Saul, yeah, I do. We're just waiting for Samuel. How long are you going to wait for Samuel? Well, we got to wait for him. Man, we're going to get killed. We need some action. We need to do it now. So Saul simply said, okay, I give in. Verse 9. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered a burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. Notice it now. When you go off a little bit, you still think that you're walking with the Lord. But you see, when you rebel, If God tells you, do this, you don't do that, that's a sin. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, that you were not come within the days appointed, that the Philistine gathered himself together at Mishmash. Therefore said I, the Philistine will come down now upon me to Gilgal. I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. We do stupid things out of fear. It was a simple thing. God simply told Saul, through Samuel, just wait. Saul looked upon the Philistines. We look upon the enemy. We should look upon Jesus. There's no crisis in heaven. God has things under control. And Samuel said to Saul, you've done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which he commanded you. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. In other words, there are certain points in your life when God wants to test you. Have you established in your faith? But when we disobey, we cave. Instead of being lifted up a notch in the kingdom of heaven, we are pushed aside. In verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you. So Samuel simply said, you lost it. We had a man here in his ministry back in the early 2000. His first name was Stuart. And Stuart was probably one of the most intelligent men I have ever met. He was a college professor. He has several degrees. He was teaching mathematics. He was teaching chemistry and a few other things. And he had crashed, lost his job, lost everything he had, and so when he came here, we took him through deliverance. And he was so bad that he could not even read or write. So he stayed with us with a man for about half a year to recover. And then he was beginning to be able to hold on a job. And eventually he was back teaching in college again. I had debates with Stewards. He says, you know, I don't agree with you, John, on this or that. You know, you take the Bible for literal. I don't. I think, you know, this is not right and this is not right. So he says, well, I'm not going to change because I'm going to stand on the word. His weakness was women. And his motor operation was, he liked nurses, because nurses have compassion. So he would find a nurse, he would spin her, and before long he was cleaning out her checking account, banking account, and sleeping with her. And then when he finished up her money, you know, he just moved on to find the next nurse. I told him, you can't live like that. I said, God gave you a chance. God really delivered you. God has healed you. Listen closely now. You can't defeat demons in the flesh. You and I are no match for an evil spirit. They will dance around us and knock us out. So I told him this. Don't open up your doors. Stay in the Word. But as he began to heal up and get back his glory, so to say, he told me this. He said, you know, they're not intelligent men in the church. You know, they're just a bunch of yo-yos, you know. And I got really no one I can really talk to. You know, I want to talk on a high level. Well, he thought that the high level was a low road. So make that story short. 10 years after his deliverance, at the age of about 53, Stewart died. Overdose of drugs. He was in a tub soaking, had laid there for 4 days before he was found, 10 years after his deliverance. Brilliant man. But he was stupid. Let's talk about a second chance on the outline. Now, Jesus told Samuel that the Amalekites were to be eradicated. This nomadic tribe lived in the desert south of Israel. Eliphaz, the founder, was a grandson of Esau. They hated the Hebrews and attacked them after the exodus from Egypt. Let's go to chapter 15 now of 1 Samuel. So now we have here a second chance for Saul. And I want to pick it up in the first 3 verses. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken," that means listen, "unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus is the Lord of hosts. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how we laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, out and destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both men, women, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, ass." With other words, clean them out. Why would God ask something like that? Well, they were into idol worship, child sacrifice, all kind of bad things. So Saul now was told, "This is what I want you to do." God spoke to Samuel. Saul now got a second chance. But if you read now, in verse number 8 on the same chapter, "And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep, and all the oxen, or the fatlings, or the lambs, all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly." What a deal. He simply said this: "We're going to do what God told us to do. We're going to kill the people off. Now, we're going to keep the good stuff. Everything that is garbage, we're going to get rid of. But we're going to keep the good stuff." Now, Saul was confronted. In verse 10, we read this: "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repents me that I set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, has not performed my commandments. And he grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Do I feel bad over Stewart? Yes, I do. I love that man. Do I feel bad over Jason? Yes, I do. I love that man too. But I could not help these two men for do what they want to do. And I just had to let them go. It's a sad thing. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed be you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." There's nothing worse than a person to think that he is doing God's will and he's not. He's partially doing it. You know, when it comes to deliverance, we tell people, we try to help them get off drugs, including caffeine and other things. And we simply say, let's line up with the Word of God. And over the years, I learned this, that people give it up, but as time goes, they're prospering. Slowly but surely, the caffeine comes back, the white sugar comes back, number of other things comes back that causes disease. And then they said, well, it's not that important. Let me tell you this. It's all or nothing. If God has spoken, you obey and be blessed. And Samuel said, what means then this bleeding of the sheep by the ears and the lowering of the oxen which are here? Now, you find here in the next few verses here, the sergeant says, well, this is what the people want to do. It's a blame game. It's not my fault, you know. They did this and they did that and so on, you know, and I was kind of forced into it. And in verse number 19, wherefore then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took out a spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord your God in Gilgal. Double lies. The people did it. And they did that because they wanted to go and sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offering sacrifices? And is obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I want to drill this in here today. Let me read that verse again. And Samuel said, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience is a key if you want to walk close with God and have the Holy Spirit in your life. Obedience. How do you know what you should obey? Well, you got to read the Bible. The Bible is your instruction book. It tells you what he wants. He says, well, I can't read the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. Well, that's because you are lazy. You don't understand the Bible. When we do deliverance, I finally found out this, that here's what I got to do. There's certain words in the King James Version we don't use today, so people don't know them. And I got tired of sitting to explain to people, this is what this word means. So I simply made up a list. And I said, it's like, you know, at 10, 15 words, and wrote them down, what they mean in today's language. I said, now, would you study, and you find this word, look over here what it means. Some people will not even do that. It's too much work. They just slide over it. And it doesn't work. Look in verse number 23 now. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Our nation is in a mess. Where did it start? It started hundreds of years ago. We had great revivals during the 1800s. And people came to Christ in droves. We had Billy Graham in the 50s and up to the 70s, with huge crusades. I worked in three of them. Well, we had 80,000 people, 100,000 people. Thousands come to Christ every night. It was a move of God. But how did we lose it? We lost it in rebellion. In verse 24, Saul now felt, you know, this is not going well for me. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and obey thy voice. There's a mouthful in verse 24. I have sinned, for I transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and obey thy voice. You and I are tossed around by people. We're always looking, are we accepted? We fear people. If you fear people, you cannot serve God. You have to come to the place where you simply said, I don't care what people say, I'm going to stay with the Bible, I'm going to walk with God, and if they don't like me, so what? I don't care. And then Saul said this, now therefore I pray you, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I might worship the Lord. There come a time of no return. You sin one time too much. And Samuel to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it ran. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, has given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel, that's God, will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. There are people today watching me right now that have been walking with the Lord. Some of you are kind of backslidden and so on. And as pressure is going to come on, I don't know how many of you are going to be able to stand. But the way to stand is simple this. I'm going to give you a couple of points. The first thing you need to do is to say this. I believe the Bible. Now, not just any Bible. I'm not saying that we worship King James Version. But the King James Version is the closest and best translation in English that we have. And the others I call bastard Bibles because they are concept translations. You got to make a decision. I'm going to believe the Bible. Whatever God said in the Bible, I am going to believe. I'm going to act upon it. I'm going to obey it. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do. If you don't do that, you're going to fall. Because things are going to fall apart around us. You can find preachers today. I mean, you can find any theology. If you don't believe in hell, there are preachers out there that says hell is not real. If you don't believe in eternal punishment, there are people out there, pastors, that would say, no, that's no eternal punishment. God is love. Everybody's going to get saved. Whatever a person wants, you will find a church and a pastor that preaches that. Does that make it right? No. It simply means that Satan will accommodate you in whatever you want. Let the word conform you to God. Let not the world conform you to itself. Be different. And then, be obedient. What does that mean? It means that you simply do what the Lord tells you. Now, we had a discussion here a week ago about the sermon. It's a long sermon, and we got a certain title on it, and I was told, you know, if you don't stay on it, you're not going to finish. So I simply said, okay, I'm going to stay on it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say nothing. So I simply said, you know, that's it. So I'm sitting here in the chapel, listening to the worship music, and then the Holy Spirit is talking to me. And he simply says this, I want you to give a history lesson today. Well, if I do that, I ain't going to finish this message. So, squirming, you know, I want to finish this message. Holy Spirit said, now, this is what I want. I walked long enough, I've been through the school of hard knocks, to know that when he speaks, do what he tells you to do, or you're going to be miserable. I can either please people or I'll please God. So here we are. And so I gave a history lesson, and I'm going to try to get that up someday up on the internet. But I want to close this here today with this. That, let me read from 1 Samuel 16:1. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil, and go, I will send to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided him a king among his sons. How long will you mourn for Saul? There are people that are close to you that have rebelled. You can't change them. Don't let that drag you down. Realize this. There's going to be people like Saul, Jason, Stuart, Judas. The Bible is full of people that turn the wrong way. And we can do two things. We can either continue with God and be victorious, or we can be defeated by looking at these people and ending up on a scrap heap of history. Again, I want to close with the following scripture. This will be a bonus. And it's a scripture that we just can't. It's from 1 John chapter 1. That's 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to read here from verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the time to simply take an inventory. As you see Afghanistan burning and more or less going to hell for time being, as I told you today before in my history lesson, you've seen what happened to Eastern Europe. You saw what happened to China, Vietnam, Korea, and all the others. People that lived at that time are now dead. It's a new day today. We cannot change history, but we can simply walk in obedience. I'm looking around and I realize that of friends that I had over the years, most of them are now dead. Those that I went to high school with, college with, they're dead. They finished. Good or bad, they're done. I'm still standing. I plan to stand. I will stand as long as I'm walking with the Lord and doing His job. I got information. I got experience that people born after 1960 did not have. I'm a walking encyclopedia. I can share things with you. What are you doing with your life? Are you obedient? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Or are you vacillating? If you're listening to me today and you said, I'm not saved, I don't even know if I'm going to go to heaven. The good news is you can get saved today. All you have to do is to simply say, God, I'm a sinner. Father God, I believe that Jesus, your Son, died on the cross for me, rose on the third day, and I believe you paid my sins. Forgive me, Father God. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And Jesus will. When we finish here, three crosses will come up on your screen, and you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying this, my friend, and he will take you through the plan of salvation, and he will simply help you so you know you can be saved today. If you do that today, would you call us, write us? We'd like to rejoice with you, give you some stuff that we can mail to you to learn more about God. And to those of you that are doing great, pray for the rest of them. But let me ask you this. I ask you every Sunday. Are you today where you should be? If you will get a call today from heaven and saying, you're done, I'm taking you home, would you be happy and say, okay, I'm ready to go, I finished what God told me to do? Or would you say, I got unfinished business. I didn't do this, I didn't get to that person, I didn't get to this person, I didn't do what you told me to do. Would you change? Would you say, God, help me not to be a procrastinator. Help me to do today what you want me to do. Help me to be in your will. Father God, show me, and he will. May God bless you, as I hope that you spend the afternoon today thinking about what I told you, go through the scriptures I shared with you, and getting down on your hands and knees and talking to our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, here is Pastor Charles.
Father God, it is not necessarily a light message that we heard here today. A man that started out well, King Saul, he had every advantage that you had provided him with, and he slowly just squandered it away. Help us, Father God, to be mindful of this, to look at his life, examine it, and to see, you know, how we fit into that. Are we squandering our lives? Are we using our lives wisely? You know, what are our decisions? How are we living? So, help us, Father God, just to take an inventory. And Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit being present here on this earth, that you are a comforter to us, but you also bring conviction, and that you can touch our hearts and let us know immediately when we're doing something that is displeasing to you. That the secret to success with you is simply to listen and to follow through with obedience. So help us, Father God, just to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation, who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was a 33rd part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, The Demise of King Saul. Toward the end of his life, Samuel wanted to make sure that the Israelites knew that he had never taken a bribe. Meanwhile, King Saul transitioned from a humble farmer to a warring monarch with a small army, who used his office to build up his reputation. He led Israel in a disastrous battle against the Philistines, and Jesus gave the fledgling king a chance to redeem himself. But driven by fear and unbelief, Saul rebelled and missed the mark. King Saul recognized that David was his replacement, and he became obsessed with murdering the ruddy-haired shepherd boy who kept growing in fame. He failed to recognize that the situation simply got worse each time he tried to fix the problem through his own inept and blundering efforts. The Philistines invaded toward the end of his life, and Saul went to the enemy of God for help. The first king of Israel did not have to fail. It was a conscious choice, and humanity still faces the same demons that Saul encountered. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1822. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.